Offer our respectful obeisances into the lotus feet of our spiritual master, his divine grace, his Srimad Bhaktivedanta Swami Tathagata, who has kindly come to us through all standing darkness at our misfortune, and his frozen eyes are open and to touch with our love. Krishna consciousness, the timeless yoga system, is practiced in a form called Sadhana Bhakti. Bhakti means devotional love, and Sadhana means in practice. The nature of devotion, the scripture, deals with the details of carrying out the practice of devotional service. It deals with the gradual development of the love of God to the highest perfectional state of believer. The nature of devotion gives us information about the pitfalls on the path of bhakti yoga. It compares bhakti yoga process with a devotional creeper, like a tiny plant, and how to protect the plant from the weeds and the offenses, tiny death and offenses. These things are all implicated in this book by the mercy of Sri Rupa Goswami and the spiritual master. So we'll read in the sixth chapter, page 53. How to discharge devotional service. Sri Rupa Goswami states that his elder brother, Sanatana Goswami, has compiled Hari Bhakti Vilas for the guidance of the Vaishnavas. And therein has mentioned many rules and regulations to be followed by the Vaishnavas. Some of them are very important and prominent, and we now mention these very important items for our benefit. The purport of this statement is that Sri Rupa Goswami proposes to mention only basic principles, not details. For example, a basic principle is that one has to accept a spiritual master. Exactly how one follows the instructions of his spiritual master is considered in detail. For example, if one is following the instruction of his spiritual master, and that instruction is different from the instructions of another spiritual master, that is called detailed information. But the basic principle of acceptance of the spiritual master is good everywhere, although the details may be different. Sri Rupa Goswami does not wish to enter into details here. He wants to place before us only the principles. He mentioned the basic principles as follows. 1. Accepting the shelter of the lotus feet of a bona fide spiritual master. 2. Becoming initiated by the spiritual master and learning how to discharge devotional service from him. 3. Obeying the orders of the spiritual master with faith and devotion. 4. Following the footsteps of great acharyas, teachers under the direction of the spiritual master. 5. Inquiring from the spiritual master how to advance with Krishna consciousness. 6. Being prepared to give up anything material for the satisfaction of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna. This means that when we are engaged in devotional service of Krishna, we must be prepared to give up something which we may not like to give up. And also we have to accept something which we may not like to accept. 7. Residing in a sacred place of purity, like Dwarka or Vrindavan. 8. Dealing with the material world only as far as necessary. 9. Observing the fasting day from the Ekadasi. And 10. Worshipping sacred trees like the banyan tree and others. These two items are preliminary necessities for beginning a discharge from devotional service in regulated principles. In the beginning, if a unified devotee observes the above-mentioned 10 principles, surely he will quickly make great advancement in Krishna consciousness. So, just to summarize these first 10, so we have a good grasp of it, mentioned this the other night in our lecture, that first of all, one has to heal sufficiently from a spiritual master. This means to do shelter. Just like you go to university or college, you take shelter of some professor. You pay some money, you get some instruction in order to achieve your goal, to become a doctor, a lawyer, whatever you want to become. So you take the shelter of the superior authority. This is necessary to become advanced in knowledge. You have to take shelter of the superior authority. So we hear from the bona fide spiritual master. This means we take shelter. You can't learn anything from a teacher if you challenge him. If you have a challenging spirit, or don't believe him. If you don't believe, then why do you need a teacher? Then why go to college? You become your own teacher and become a doctor. How many of you would go to a doctor and have become his own teacher? If I say, sir, I'm educating myself in medical science, I've read so many books, but this kind of let me operate on you, or let me become? Why? Because you want to know who I'm studying, who is directing me, how my patients are doing. You want to know all that. So, if that's true to you, what is true spiritually? It takes 10 years of practice to become a doctor. Imagine what it would feel to become pulled away from God, liberated soul. So, you have to be dedicated to heal sufficiently. And as you're hearing, it says, you have to take initiation. This is not formality. Initiation means that I agree to follow the principles. I know that my spiritual master is my relisher, and I agree to follow his principles. And then, for me, the instruction orders with faith and devotion to the spiritual master. We've discussed the night previously. Inquiring from the spiritual master how to advance in Krishna consciousness. Don't be dull-headed. Don't become lethargic. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, if you want service without egoism and without lethargy. What does that mean? Egoism, that defines it, means personal desire for sense gratification. Personal motive. Without a personal motive, I need to satisfy Krishna. That should be the motive. And no lethargy. In the material world, we have so many frustrating experiences. And due to frustration only, people give up. You see, they become lethargic. Just need to give up. We have so many philosophers around the world giving up. Not this, not this, not this. Renounce the world, give up everything. This is becoming popular, mainly, in the society. We have frustrated persons and trying to give up. So, you see now, we're traveling amongst the young people around the country, and even in some places, they become so saturated with drugs and such that I don't want to see them give up. And they're speaking of becoming celibacy and this and that. All community, sense gratification and renunciation. This will not help. But, if we actually come to the platform, we're being prepared to inquire from our spiritual master how we can get out of this lethargic condition of frustration, then that's what it means to be inquisitive how to advance in Krishna consciousness. Everyone is suffering from painful experiences in this material world. You should know that. Everyone is suffering from painful experiences. You cannot meet anyone in this material world, honey, who has not suffered from material relationships. Therefore, everyone to some degree or another is suffering from this lethargy, this fear, you see, of activity. They're fearful of their own spiritual identity and their own spiritual relationship with God. That's a fact. There are many persons in that condition. There is a great stumbling block in the path of devotional life for God. So we have to come over this stage of fearfulness, of frustration, and lethargy, and come to this stage of inquiry. Chaitanya Hare Krishna will give us that stream. Chaitanya Hare Krishna will make you forget the wounds of material relationships. Chaitanya Hare Krishna will give you the pure cognition that actually this whole material phantasmagoria is only sexual nature. So, people take it very seriously, this materialistic dream of life. But actually, it is debate. It's going on. It's not permanent, temporary. It's being destroyed moment by moment. So, all this lamentation, all this thinking in the material world, it's all dreamlike. It has no actual substance. The substance is our desire. When we are free from frustration, from materialistic desire, then we can be positively engaged. Positive spiritual desire, spiritual desire. I want to know what is my relationship with Krishna. I don't want to remain in darkness. This is what spiritual inquiry is. What am I? What is this body? What are all these personalities? All these different varieties and bodies? What is this world? Who is controlling it? What is the nature of life? What is the nature of all these moods and tastes and affection and love in this material world? What is the mood and taste in the spiritual world? All these inquiries. This means not to be dull-headed, to be inquisitive, to know that Krishna and Krishna is manifestation. Being prepared to give up anything material for the satisfaction of the Supreme Personality of God. For Krishna, sometimes you have to give up something you don't want to give up. Actually, our likes and dislikes are governed by the world's material nature and material concept of life. Someone says, I like to eat some nonsense, mushroom or something like that. Why he likes it? Because he's influenced by the motivated ones. He tastes something which is really steel and unrighteous things like mushroom or onions, something like that. When he uses, they don't like that. They like something that is being hot, too much salt. Persons in the mood of passion. And persons in the mood of goodness, they're attracted to eating fresh fruits, vegetables, and kinds. So these different modes of material nature, they can conduct our likes and dislikes. Actually, we've lost our incident to like or dislike anything. We've surrendered our freedom of choice to the modes of material nature. And the modes of material nature are acting upon us. This is the covering influence of mind. Mind has two influences. One is called flowing influence, and one is called the covering influence. The flowing influence is when you desire to be apart from Krishna. It is the flowing influence in mind. The covering influence is that as soon as you desire to be apart from Krishna, you are covered by this materialistic body, and you act in this material body with a perverted cognition, thinking, I am the supreme joy. And by your actions and reactions, you become covered. And you become eternally conditioned soul. In the past, you're conditioned, in the present, you're conditioned, and in the future, you'll also be conditioned. So, this is the covering influence in mind to act for sense gratification in this material world. So, one may have to give up something that he may not like to give up in this conditional state of life for the satisfaction of Krishna. But that is not actually giving up. That means you're giving up your spiritual initiative. Instead of being forced to eat something in the mode of ignorance or the mode of passion in the mode of goodness, you need transcendental personality. That means you have freedom. You're choosing, you're utilizing your initiative. I want to be Krishna's assignment. I don't want this nonsense. In this passion of goodness. See? Everyone else is forced to go to the restaurant. In the mode of goodness, they're going to the health food store. In the mode of passion, they're going to this place like this. In the mode of goodness, this place like this. But you're going to the temple, and you're going to Krishna to the temple. Or you're turning your home into a temple, and you're going to Krishna to the temple. This means you're a liberated soul because you have freedom. This is a very important principle. If you can execute this principle, you're a liberated soul. Liberation means to have an initiative back, to be able to choose the transcendental, instead of being forced to choose in the mode of ignorance, passion, and goodness. In the mode of goodness, one is forced to want to live in the country. The mode of passion is forced to want to live in the city. He's forced in the mode of ignorance to want to live in a bar, or a brothel, cross. There are many of these crosses. And you devotees, you're choosing. No, I won't follow these words. I live in Krishna's house. The temple is transcendental to the mode of goodness even. So you're living transcendental. Healing becomes a liberated soul. Therefore, anyone who's in Krishna consciousness, he's considered to be rightly situated. Even though there may be some abominable thing in his character, that cannot be held against him because he's captured in the pantheon of the liberated soul. Simply that you discriminate, I won't follow my wings, I follow the order of my spiritual master, that means you're liberated soul. Just that. You see, and that's only the beginning. Liberation is only the beginning. Then there's activities in liberation. Exchange of feelings, emotions, and love with the spiritual master and the Supreme Personality of God, and your God brothers and God sisters. Just look upon the glories of the world and start to rise. So liberation is just the beginning. So our devotees in Krishna consciousness, you can just imagine how wonderful. That liberation, freedom from the modes of pure nature, which is the goal of most religions, the goal of most yoga processes, is only the beginning platform in Krishna consciousness. It's just the beginning step. Therefore, it's considered to be postgraduate study of religion, postgraduate study of yoga, the topmost yoga system, because it begins with the goal of all yoga systems and it progresses from that point. That is seen as freedom. That is the basic principle of bhakti, is freedom to choose. In other mechanical systems of yoga, they're simply trying to gain this freedom by restraining the senses, by controlling the breath, by controlling the sitting posture, controlling the eating. They're trying to gain control over their senses so that the senses are not swept away by the modes of material nature. They're trying to gain control over their minds so their minds are not swept away by desires conducted by the modes of material nature. But in Krishna consciousness, immediately we start a new platform. Senses engaged in Krishna, mind engaged in Krishna, liberated soul from the Lord and Lord. Therefore, Krishna consciousness is not an ordinary thing. It's very rarely achieved. Persons in Krishna consciousness are considered to be so rare. Out of thousands of men, Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, one may be interested in such realization. But out of thousands of such men, only one may understand what is the actual self of the Brahman. And out of thousands of such liberated souls, only one may be interested to know them. So just see how rare is that platform. Therefore, that is the mercy of Lord Chaitanya, that he's making something which is very, very rarely achieved, very easily available. That doesn't mean it's not rarely achieved, it is rarely achieved, but it's easily available. It's not hidden somewhere in any part of the world. It's now available all over the world. So, being easily available does not make it cheap. It's the same valuable substance, beginning on the platform of liberation. So this quality is very important. Being able to reject anything that cannot be used in the service of the Lord. Even though one may have a desire for it, conducted by the modes. That power to reject the desire, that means we have Krishna's mercy. And we must have to accept something which we do not ordinarily accept to satisfy the Lord. There is also the same thing. Residing in a sacred place. We have to live in a transcendental place. Strike in the temple, we're living. Or those that are householders, they live in a household. They visited some places here. They have altars in their homes. And they're worshiping in a regulated manner, offering food to someone. And this day, we're living in a transcendental place, holy place. Holy place means our sense gratification is not going on. Where the service of the Lord is being practiced in a regulated manner. So, any place can become a holy place if devotional service is practiced in regulation and law. Krishna is not limited simply to these places, Dwarka Vrindavan. Dwarka Vrindavan, Krishna is always there. But wherever Krishna is, these things are also there, Dwarka Vrindavan. So, if you bring Krishna in your home, to bring his things to your mind. He bring his things to all your activities and be living in the mind. To live in your mind. Because his things is always there. So if you bring his things to everything, and you're living in the mind, you're living in your mind. So he says, if you actually see the truth, you will know that all your things, all of you need to be living in your mind. And you will tell you, says, come out of this and these forests of illusion. You become indifferent to all this knowledge apart from Krishna. You become indifferent to it all because you see everything in relationship to Krishna. You're living in the holy place. And then dealing with the material world only as far as necessary. It's also a principle that can be difficulty in practicing devotional service. And one of the difficulties is this over-endeavor. Prabhupada gives a lecture in his tapes that over-endeavor means that we should accept something if we can be performed by us without too much attention in the busyness, but keeping our attention on Krishna. That is the principle. This is also mentioned in Srimad Bhagavatam, that one has to dovetail his activities in Krishna's service. But any activity which does not result in the nine principles of devotional service, hearing about the Lord, chanting about the Lord, loving the Lord, remembering the Lord, visiting the Lord, offering prayers, serving the Lord, serving the Lord's feet, the deity, and to the Lord your friend, giving up everything to the Lord. Any activity which does not lead to these nine processes, nine activities, it has to be considered to be over-endeavor. This is the definition of that. It's the endeavor of that. But we can dovetail our qualities in Krishna's service, if you have business in mind, or whatever. But if your business does not lend to these nine things, to the understanding of being ready for prayers, then that is over-endeavor. Because that is our business. These are the principles of bhakti. Anything which is not conducive to these principles is considered the overdue. So these designs are clearly necessities for beginning with this kind of devotional service and regulated principles. The next set of instructions is listed as follows. One, one should visibly give up the company of non-devotees. Two, one should not instruct a person who is not desirous of accepting devotional service. Three, one should not be very enthusiastic about constructing costly temples and monasteries. Four, one should not try to read too many books, nor should one develop the idea of earning his livelihood by lecturing on or by professionally reciting Srimad Bhagavatam or the Bhagavad Gita. Five, one should not be neglectful of ordinary dealings. Six, one should not be under the spell of lamentation and loss or tribulation and doom. Seven, one should not disrespect the demigods. Eight, one should not give unnecessary trouble to any living entity. Nine, one should carefully avoid the various offenses in treating the holy men of the world or in worshiping the deity in the temple. And ten, one should be very intolerant towards the blasphemy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, or his devotees. So, one should visibly give up the company of non-devotees. This means that one should not have intimate contact. For teaching, one can go amongst non-devotees, only for the purpose of teaching. Ten, he should avoid contact, bodily contact, with such non-devotee personalities, because their senses are impure. And in impure activities, the body becomes also impure. So one should not touch the body, unless he's very advanced, and it's possible to even inject spiritualization by touching the non-devotees. But one should avoid becoming the non-devotees. Lord Chaitanya gave his example. During Mahayata ceremony, he fell down in trance. And the king, he rescued the Lord, holding him up from falling on the ground. But when Lord Chaitanya saw that a king, and he was dealing with money and the worldly things, politics, etc., killing this and that, when he saw that the king had rescued him, Paul immediately cursed himself. His eyes should be cursed for being touched by such a worldly man. The king is actually a devotee. He can hear that. So there is no question. But I'm going to tell you one little example. And you should not have intimate association with the devotee class in general. Lord Chaitanya told his disciples that one should rather embrace a cage of tigers or fire than put in a cage of tigers or fire and be put in a room with a man who's too much attached to sex life. The burning fire which we have lost is worse than the burning fire heat and the burning sensation of the tongue. It's worse than that. So these are the examples of Lord Chaitanya verses. So we should not seek within the association of non-devotees. But for teaching, one can go at least. One should not instruct a person who is not desirous of accepting devotional service. That means that you should not teach the glories of the Lord to someone who doesn't have a surrendered and inquiring spirit. In other words, if someone is not interested to know about Krishna, about devotional service, then you should not force it upon him. Of course, when you actually take some risk that there may be persons there that are challenging in spirit, you're going to hear. And to have a station by the year that a preacher has to take that risk for the satisfaction of the Lord. And the Lord will protect him from the emotions of that risk. So, when we preach in general, there may be someone there who is not sincere about hearing. That is not our fault, because the preacher will be sincere and be innocent. But if we meet a challenging personality, an atheistic personality, we should not try to force him to hear about the details of the glories of the Lord. As far as telling Hare Krishna goes, anyone can hear that. Anyone can hear that and derive some meaning. But we should not preach sense. One should not be very enthusiastic about constructing costly temples and monasteries. This was a practice in a previous age, constructing large temples in which Brahmins would be employed and they would chant the mantras and perform the sacrifices for temple worship. But because this is not possible in this age to be done on a large scale, therefore it's not recommended that we should hire second-class persons to come in and maintain the temples. Just to build more and more costly temples. That we don't want. This is possible in other age when the Brahmins were pure. The saints was not so in this age, therefore, this recommendation is given. And one should not be eager to construct many temples and simply maintain them for many years to come. Here, this is a different thing. This is directly going on under the instruction of a bona fide spiritual master, and it's being performed by Vaishnava devotees of the Lord. Therefore, it can be done in full opulence without any risk of becoming superficial or unbelieving. Four, one should not try to read too many books unless one has developed an idea for his livelihood by lecturing on or by professionally listening to Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita. Prabhupada says, to preach one has to have potency, and purity is the force. Unless we're actually pure in our activities, we can't have the force for preaching. There won't be the potency for preaching properly. So, one has to save himself by practicing pure principles, living a holy life, and chanting the glories of the Lord, as the Lord continues after. And, if one follows that, then he has potency to preach Bhagavad Gita, sing Bhagavad Gita. But not that he can impure any funds derived therewith to personal sins by his person. He is impure in his potency of the lives. One should not be neglectful in ordinary dealings. One should not be neglectful in ordinary dealings. There are details to be performed in devotional service. We have to be careful to meet the floor, we have to be careful in the deity worship, we have to be careful in the cooking of prasadam. Prabhupada gave us a lecture just the other day. Everything has to become first class, not third class, but first class. That means attention to details. This is a difficulty for us, seeing that in our materialistic way of life, the whole principle is to get away with as little as you can. It is the principle of material life, to get as much as you can for as little endeavor as possible. But the principle of yoga, bhakti yoga, especially devotional yoga, is that the more you do, the more you increase your life. The more you attend to the details of successfully in Krishna, the more you feel Krishna's satisfaction. The careful eye, the more we're attentive to the details of devotional service, that means to tap on the instruction of authority. And we don't know what the details are. We have to hear it from the authority. And when we tap on the instruction of authority, then we feel the satisfaction of the authority. And it's coming down to the person himself. He's the original authority. And back to him. It's coming down to the person himself. He's the original authority. And back to him. And it's coming down to our spiritual master today, who's representing the entity. So if we carry out the details of his instruction, then we'll feel his smile glance upon us. And the happiness will make us free from the unitary contamination. So one has to be attentive to ordinary beings. That means also with one another. Prabhupada's always concerned. I was talking to my godmother, Sutakirti Prabhu, who happens to be our spiritual master's close servant. And he told me that Prabhupada is always concerned about the care of devotees and the care of the temple activities. If he sees a devotee is not having a coat, only twice, Sutakirti told me. Why is the boy doesn't have a coat? And he'll tell the authority, you should provide for this boy. Have a coat. And if they have a coat and they're not wearing it, the Prabhupada is concerned about that also. Why do they risk? This is not your body that you can risk. And then having all kinds of weather with a proper coat. So Prabhupada is concerned about the details of ordinary beings. Because we can't be neglectful to be practicing the principles of Siddhanta Bhakti, regulation and vowing. Vowing means not to be neglectful, it means to be attentive. Carry out what I vowed to perform. That's an important principle. All of us have shortcomings in this way, and therefore we have to, especially older devotees, we have to help the younger devotees come to this platform and be attentive to details. If the older devotee criticizes you, that, oh, you're not attentive, you haven't cleaned this part properly, you haven't taken care properly of this point of lampoint, you should not feel offended. He's your well-wisher. Prabhupada is very much like that. I was up in Prabhupada's room just the other night, and my grandmother was sitting, and I was making some mistake with the receiver. And Prabhupada was very careful to criticize him. Why are you speculating? Why don't you go get an authority? He knows how to run the receiver. So, this is an example. Even if you had personal association with Prabhupada, you're getting criticism. So, you shouldn't consider if you're getting criticism from the older grandmother that this is something bad. He's keeping on me, or he's always trying to find fault in me. No, there's no personal motive. He's not doing it out of any personal motive. Otherwise, we'd go out and enjoy sense gratification if there was personal motive. Why would you take so much trouble to be a steer and live this life if you don't have a personal motive? Therefore, don't be offended if you become criticized. Even if you become harshly chastised by the devil, you consider it, oh, this is mercy. Prabhupada told this to himself that when he was criticized by his guru Maharaj, and he considered that the day he received the mercy of his spiritual master. So don't be reactionary. That is personally motivated. Think always of the details of devotional service. If someone criticizes you for not carrying it out, then you accept all Krishna is so kind. You're speaking to me through the Bhagavad Gita. You're trying to help me in the next 24 hours. That should be the attitude. Always be in a service attitude. So these are all my superiors, Prabhus. You can practice this on the ground. The boys have been coming up to me, I've been working with you. I can rise together, immediately pay obeisances to one another. Don't you try to speak? Sudhamaras and I were older devotees. We've been used to each other's association for so many years. We still only rise in the morning, we offer obeisances when we see each other, we can pass at each other's feet. This is recommended by our spiritual master. So if you want to make yourself free from personal motive, free from pride, then you practice these principles of becoming the servant of your God and the servant of your God system. Take the dust of your feet, offer to do some service. So you've been very careful to keep yourself in this humble state of mind, always being willing to offer respects to others and give your service to others. This is the platform of love. Be able to change the focus of the constant. And humble state of mind. If you're having difficulty changing the focus of the constant, if you're having difficulty becoming reactionary to a God that is proud, then you take one God that you respect and you become his menial servant. That will help you in the next. This is recommended. To serve the devotees of the Lord, to offer them first honor, to receive first honor from them. These are principles of Sadhana Bhakti. So, one should not be grateful in all deeds. One should not be under the spell of the lamentation of loss or tribulation in gain. Lamentation of loss is due, just like Prabhupada's example, to find a bank teller that I'm counting so many millions of dollars daily. I'm not the gainer. I don't rejoice that, oh, I'm counting so many millions of dollars. I have so much money to take home with me for the good day. No, I'm only a teller of it. And if the bank becomes robbed during the day and all the millions of dollars are taken out, I don't remember at all to lost so many millions of dollars. No, I'm unaffected because I'm only a teller of it. So when we accept our position of being simply a representative of the Lord, acting on behalf of the Lord, then whatever gain is there, we accept in the spirit of renunciation. Oh, this must be turned over to the Lord. And whatever loss may be incurred, either to our nature, to our energy, we consider that to be simply the fluctuation of the energy of the Lord, working its inconceivable way. So this is the position of becoming a teller. Becoming simply a representative of the Lord. No lamentation of loss, and no tribulation of being worried how I'm going to use all this accumulated property. The materialists, they're never happy. If they gain, then they're worried what they're going to do with it. And if they lose, then they're worried about what they've lost. See, the whole position is anxiety. According to Bhagavad Gita, their anxiety knows no bounds. It has no bounds. It goes on increasing the more they do. The more they increase, the more they have. So, the devotee is free from anxiety because he knows he's representative. And we should not disrespect the demigods. The demigods are empowered by the Lord to assist him in the function of creation, ordinance, and violation of the material world. Therefore, they're considered to be the limbs of the Lord, the working organs of the Lord's universal body. So, we should not disrespect the demigods. We have to not give unnecessary trouble to people with the entity. This is the compassionate nature of the devotee of the Lord. If he cannot stand to see suffering of another living being, that is the definition of compassion. When we cannot bear the sufferings of another. So, we should first of all appeal to the compassionate nature of the Lord. When we meet the spiritual master, and headed by Srimati Radharani, the eternal concert of the Lord is considered to be the compassionate nature. And the compassionate nature of the Lord, he forgets his inapproachable position, his omnipotent position, and he accepts even a little thing offered in love as a great gift. It is the compassionate nature of the Lord. Even a little thing offered in love is accepted as a great gift. So we ourselves should approach the compassionate nature of the Lord, but also we should give compassion to others in the same way. Father states, what are we? What is everything? It's nothing. What is the value of our things that we're offering? It's also nothing. And that's because we're coming with the feeling of bhakti, of what this is accepted. Therefore, Krishna accepts that. So if Krishna has that compassion to you, you should also extend that compassion to others. If you see some of these people in the temple, they're not very advanced, they're only able to do a little bit of service maybe, you should take it as a great deal. And oh, how wonderful, this person is coming. This guy, you know, all of you, it's a new person who has no association with devotees. If he comes here and offers to do a little service, then you take it as a great deal, isn't it? You say, oh, how nice his words, his kind of the first time he says, he wants to sweep the floor. Except for that, he's probably abominable, as well as the things. But because he extended a little bit of devotion, he took it as a great deal. That is your compassion. And that's proper. Therefore, how much more you should have compassion to your actual godbrothers and your sisters. They would actually sacrifice everything to come and serve Krishna with their total energy. You may find some abomination in your character. And you do something over sleep sometime, or be neglectful of some duty sometime. But if you use your compassion, and you forget that Krishna accepts a little bit as a great deal, and you become a friend of the devotees of the Lord, and you yourself and lose their attention to control. So those of you that are in positions of authority, you also have to be very aware, because you can become offended at the lotus feet of devotees of the Lord. If you do so, your attachment will lead to second class, third class, and eventually lead. Therefore, a position of authority has to be very, very carefully executed in the line of our spiritual masters. We have to keep in sync with our own good knowledge, how compassionate he is, and he accepts even a little bit as a great deal. Although he may be very critical at times about attentiveness to details in devotional service, still, if there's any question of giving up and not out, then say, oh, my man, don't be a fool. You're always in the dearest disciple. You're always in the intimate disciple of the child. And always please them, because my good knowledge is essential to heaven and spreading Christian consciousness. So we should never forget the compassionate nature of the Lord. See, the merciful nature of the Lord, and you should extend that to your godmothers and godsisters and your others. Don't be puffed up. Otherwise, you'll become a friend of the devotees and you'll lose your attachment. This is especially those of you that are in a position of authority. Think of a statue to me.